QST, from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for December 17, 2014. The ARRL Aries Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries e-letter, which is compiled by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. The ARRL Aries e-letter is available online at arrl.org/ares-el. Or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you ARRL and Public Service News Synopsis, Links. Indiana Group tests an ice storm scenario. Cross Borders Aries Exercise tests Northeast Communications. Amateurs support Utah Desert Wilderness Rescue Training Exercise. We have four letters for you on contacting the police for a distant emergency, former OFDA Communications Specialist on Emergency versus Disaster, Broadband Hamnet expands to include another ham band, and Feedback, Winlink, and Internet Independence. Mount St. Helens again 34 years later. Tips for public service communicators and K1CE for a final. Those are the headlines. Here are the stories. ARRL and Public Service News Synopsis, Links. Philippine hams support emergency communication for Typhoon Hagupit. Amateur radio volunteers in the Philippines activated emergency nets on HF and VHF as Typhoon Hagupit, called Typhoon Ruby locally, raked slowly across the islands, weakening as it went. Thelma Pascua, DU1IVT, Chief Operating Officer of the Philippine Amateur Radio Association, or PARA, reported, as Typhoon Hagupit entered its third day, ham operators continued to provide essential traffic as the storm progressed through Philippine territory. Members of the Ham Emergency Radio Operations, or HERO, the PARA equivalent of the U.S. Amateur Radio Emergency Service, ARES, were active. For more information, you may go to www.arrl.org/news. Homeland Security 2014 National Emergency Communications Plan incorporates amateur radio. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security's 2014 National Emergency Communications Plan, or NECP, has incorporated amateur radio in its mix of media that could support and sustain communications in a disaster or emergency. The NECP is the nation's overarching strategic plan for enhancing emergency communications capabilities and interoperability nationwide. According to the NECP, amateur radio operators can be important conduits for relaying information to response agencies and personnel when other forms of communications have failed or have been disrupted. For more information, go to www.arrl.org/news on the World Wide Web. Mars volunteers reach out to amateur community to test interoperability. The Army and Air Force branches of the Military Auxiliary Radio System, or MARS, merged their long-distance radio networks in late October for a 48-hour exercise. The plan called for MARS members, using their amateur radio call signs and operating on amateur frequencies, to establish two-way communication with ARES leadership or members in as many U.S. counties as possible. For more information on this subject, you may go to www.arrl.org/news. Indiana Group tests on ice storm scenario. An ice storm hitting Hendricks County, Indiana, was the scenario for this year's ARRL Simulated Emergency Test, or SET, conducted by the county's Aries organization and held October 18th. The Exercise Planning Committee for this year, AEC of Operations Gordon Cotton, KD0EWM, AEC of Liaison Bill Gouge, AA9EG, Technical Director Chris Harrison, KD9BIX, and Net Control Dave Limonstoll, N9XOQ, spent several months working out test details and frequencies. The main mission goal was to get the hams in Hendricks County to switch to different radio frequencies on the fly as conditions dictated, efficiently, over the course of the exercise. The group decided to use two of its portable to-go kits, or PIGs, on crossband frequencies. The PIGs would be used as the backup radio system in the event the primary repeaters fail during a real emergency. The PIGs were placed at two County Emergency Radio Network, or ERN, locations at Danville and Brownsburg, Indiana. The exercise commenced with the startup of the group's Skywarn WeatherNet on the 147.165 MHz repeater. NCS Bob Burns, W9BU, made periodic announcements to the effect that should the repeater fail, the net would resume on the Aries repeater on 147.015 MHz. Efficiency was tested when this scenario was almost immediately put into effect. All 13 participants switched over to the Aries repeater, and the full ice storm scenario was commenced. While the Aries repeater and net were humming along, it was announced that should this repeater fail, simplex operation and designated channels would serve as the primary communications conduit. Then, pursuant to the plan, the repeater did go down due to a blown fuse in the power supply. The 13 participating hams had to switch radio frequencies again, channels varying according to where they were located for effective coverage. The group now turned to depending on the PIGs for continuance of communications coverage and exercise success. Use of the PIGs picked up where the repeater left off, allowing for cross-band and single-band simplex operation. They worked, and all SET participants finished the exercise. Thanks to Ron Burke, KB9DGA, the emergency coordinator for Hendricks County, Indiana, for this report. Now it's time to pause and allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for December 17, 2014. Cross Borders Aries Exercise tests Northeast communications. A special 40-meter cross-borders net was held in the northeast region on the morning of December 13th on 7262 kHz. The purpose was to test the pathways for the 40-meter band and times between operators from Maine, New Hampshire, and bordering Canadian provinces. The exercise was the result of a suggestion made by the Maine Emergency Management Agency Communications Manager, Steve Mallory. He thought that Maine hams should put extra effort into training and drilling with neighborhood states and provinces, since disasters do not recognize borders. The Maine Aries Section Emergency Coordinator Phil Duggan, N1EP, was net control and had 33 stations from New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Vermont check into the net. Several state and provincial Aries and other emergency coordinators participated, as did New Hampshire SEC Wayne Santos, N1CKM. Most signals were easily copied during the net by all. One surprising outcome for some was the fact that a couple of the stations that had the strongest signals were using modest power of 25 to 40 watts, and their antennas were verticals. Mr. Duggan plans similar events in the future, most likely on a quarterly basis, and will encourage all New England states, as well as the Maritimes and Quebec provinces, to join in the fun. Some exercises will include using the Narrowband Emergency Messaging System suite of programs and digital modes that Dave Fries, W1HKJ, and his team have made available for amateur radio use. Thanks to the Maine Aries Section Emergency Coordinator Phil Duggan, N1EP, for this report. Amateurs support Utah Desert Wilderness Rescue Training Exercise. On November 3rd through 6th, 2014, the members and operators of Utah's Sinbad Desert Amateur Radio Club, SDARC, participated in a wilderness-based rescue training exercise. This exercise was held in conjunction with the Emory County, Utah Sheriff's Office Rope Rescue Team, Emory County Search and Rescue Rope Team, Black Dragon Rescue Systems, and National Guard Civil Support Teams, or CST. These all came from New Mexico, Colorado, Idaho, and Oklahoma. The training took place among the high red rocks and deep canyons of Utah's picturesque San Rafael Desert in eastern Utah. The exercise consisted of multiple medical emergency rescues from one of the many canyons that are favored by climbers and hikers alike. The 300-foot vertical medical rescues were exciting to watch. Emory County Sheriff's Office brought their emergency response vehicles to the Desert Deep Canyon site, which included the recent addition of their amateur radio and public safety communications trailer. All of the on-scene communications by public safety and the military were run on VHF high-band frequencies, and supplementary communications for the event were handled by members of the Emory County Aries Group, who were all members of the SDARC. Amateur contacts were handled on 40 meters and 2 meters using the SDARC's extensive 2-meter repeater system. Special thanks went out to all members of the SDARC who spent many hours working the radios and logging during the exercise, modifying the trailer and installing the communications equipment. Exercise organizers and evaluators stated that communications during this exercise were the best they have ever been for any of their exercises in this type of remote location, and that the Sinbad Desert Amateur Radio Club is a valuable asset to Emory County and the state of Utah. For more about amateur radio communications in eastern Utah, please visit the Sinbad Desert Amateur Radio Club website at sdarc.us. Thanks to Brett Mills, WX7Y, in Castledale, Utah, for this report. Letters, and we have four. The first is from Stuart Nelson, KD5LBE, the mayor of Morreltown, Arkansas. It is titled, On Contacting the Police for a Distant Emergency. Mr. Nelson writes, in regard to the recent Aries E letter report, Med Emergency in Washington's High Forest, October 15, 2014 issue, on the two hams in a remote site in the mountains trying to help an accident victim, the ham called his local 911 office. For future reference, all police departments are interconnected through their state information system. In Arkansas, it's the Arkansas Crime Information Center, or ACIC. If I had received that 20-meter contact for help, I would have called my local sheriff's office, and they would have looked up instantly the local sheriff's office where the accident had happened, or the state police. Any time any operator becomes aware of a possible emergency from out of state, he or she should contact their local law enforcement organization. For example, our police department got a call from a California police department that they got word from a local citizen there that a person in my town was trying to commit suicide and we were to stop it. So call your local police department first, or have the party you are talking to call their local police department. Thank you, Stuart, for that advice. Our second letter, titled Former OFDA Communications Specialist on Emergency versus Disaster, comes from Art Feller, W4ART, retired communications specialist at the Agency for International Development at the U.S. Department of State. Mr. Feller writes, there is a matter of language to consider, the difference between an emergency and a disaster. In my humble opinion, these words are not interchangeable. So, what's the difference? An emergency is an event that must be addressed quickly to avoid more serious consequences. Examples are a gas leak, broken power lines on the ground, a heart attack, a localized fire, a nasty road accident, etc. A disaster is a catastrophic event that exceeds the ability of the community to cope. The lava flow in Hawaii is a disaster only if Hawaii can't handle the situation on its own. Hurricanes, like Andrew, Katrina, and Sandy, created disasters because victims in the affected areas required outside help. A point to keep in mind is that in a disaster, local responders, including hams, may be as affected by the disaster as everyone else in their community, and therefore will not be able to respond. This distinction, needing help from outside, gives hams a huge advantage in disasters. We're used to working with each other, taking advantage of common frequency plans and on-air protocols, no matter where we're from. Thank you, Art, for explaining that. We'll pause now for a station break. This is the ARRL, Aries Audio E-Letter, for December 17, 2014. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN. Our third letter is titled Broadband Hamnet Expands to Include Another Ham Band, and comes from Jim Kinter Jr., K5KTF. Jim writes to tell us Broadband Hamnet, or BBHN, has announced a new firmware release, the most recent in a series of advancements that build on the Ubiquiti firmware released for the 2.4 GHz and 5.8 GHz amateur bands earlier this year. With this BBHN version 3.0.0 release, Broadband Hamnet now includes the Ubiquiti M9 series AirMax devices, giving hams use of the 900 MHz band for mesh networking. Among the release's new features is the ability to easily control the spectrum utilization of the RF links. Check it out at www.broadband-hamnet.org. I'll say that again, www.broadband-hamnet.org. Our last letter is titled Feedback, Winlink, and Internet Independence, and is from Steve Waterman, K4CJX, Winlink Network Administrator. Mr. Waterman writes, quoting from a reference to Winlink 2000 in the Aries E-Letter article, Late October Exercise to Test Mars-Aries Interoperability, October 2014 issue, only one Aries amateur radio contact per county is needed, but more are okay. Well, the contact must be person-to-person and cannot rely on internet-linked repeaters, internet connectivity systems, or store and forward email systems such as Winlink. For your information, Winlink now does not require the internet for operation. It will operate as a mesh network system without the use of the internet as a radio-only system. There is no internet involved. This occurs automatically in the hybrid Winlink 2000 system. Thank you, Steve, for letting us know. And that's the end of our letters for this month. Our next story is Mount St. Helens Again, 34 Years Later. The Hospital Emergency Amateur Radio Team, or HART, spans multiple counties in northwest Oregon and southwest Washington, and was active during the Oregon Aries Races SET on November 22nd. Going by the moniker ASHX, the drill centered on a simulated eruption of Mount St. Helens. HARTnet, with Kathleen Resberg, KE7AJH, at the helm as the NCS, effectively handled urgent communications between hospitals in four counties. The simulations involved patients with respiratory problems, alternate transportation of emergency patients via high-clearance vehicles, hospital water shortages, evacuation and distribution of patients from nearer the volcano in Washington State, reporting patient counts to the Oregon Office of Emergency Management, power and antenna problems, and even an influx of patients who had just returned from Africa and were running high fevers. Messaging was tactical as opposed to formal and went well. Lessons were learned, but as always, those will help prepare HART members for the big one down the road. Thanks to Steve Aberley, WA7PTM, an ARRL official emergency station in the ARRL Western Washington section, for this report. And now we have tips for public service communicators. Here is a great set of tips from the St. Louis, Missouri Metro Aries Races Group, with the permission and courtesy of EC Steve Wooten, KC0QMU, and AEC for Operations Gary Hoffman, KB0H. The first tip is things to avoid saying on the air. Okay, I'll do it, but it's not actually my job. The guy who's supposed to do that is always away from the table doing something else. The other operator doesn't want to hear any of that, and it ties up the frequency. Make a note of your complaints in your log and bring them up at the debriefing, but keep them off the air. Tip number two, the value of tactical call signs. Tactical call signs such as Shelter 5, Net Control, and EOC are descriptive and give immediate information. They can be very useful during planned events and during emergencies. Do not forget to include your FCC call sign at 10-minute intervals and at the end of each contact. Another tip, never alter a message. Do not alter a message, even to correct a typographical error. What you think is right might actually be wrong. Moreover, any change you make might subtly alter the meaning of the message. Send or write it exactly as you receive it. We'll resume tips for public service communicators in a few seconds, but now we'll pause for a few seconds to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for December 17, 2014. Now we'll continue with tips for public service communicators. Do not use Vox. Vox stands for voice-activated transmitter. Vox devices are handy gadgets, but should not be used in an emergency setting. Ambient noise might activate the transmitter and tie up the frequency. Also, you do not want your casual comments to go out over the air. Here's another tip. You are your own safety officer. When setting up or operating a station of any size, the very first thing on your mind should be, is it safe? Am I going to irradiate anyone with RF energy? Could my battery spill acid? Can it fall on anyone's foot? Have I created an electrical hazard? Etc. The safety of your station is your responsibility. Make sure that it cannot harm you or anyone else. Every piece of equipment can break, including you. We all have limits. Don't overtax yourself during a deployment. Watch for signs of fatigue, stress, adverse reactions to the environment, and so forth. Stop and take a break if you need one. It is better to have a silent radio than a fresh casualty. Another tip, listen to the net controller's instructions. One of the most common mistakes on regular nets is that operators assume that they know what the net controller is going to say. They miss the net controller's instructions and wind up giving inappropriate responses. This can be calamitous in an emergency situation. One way to develop the habit of paying attention is to write down the key elements of what the net controller is saying. You might be surprised to find that it's not always the same thing. Keep it brief. Airtime is precious, especially when there are numerous operators on the same frequency. Refrain from over-explaining things, engaging in personal greetings and chats, and anything else that might prevent important traffic from getting through. Are you following procedures? Operating procedures are developed from many hours of examining what went wrong during disasters. Familiarize yourself with the procedures and practice them in exercises. Arriving at a disaster scene and trying to freestyle it will only cause problems. Check the transceiver for overheating. Digital modes are great for sending forms, long lists, images, and so forth. They also use a lot more duty cycles of your transceiver than ordinary voice communications. Check to make sure that your rig is not overheating. Reduce the transmit power level if your unit feels hot. Have fuses ready. Much of your equipment has one or more fuses. Check each item and make a list of the fuses you might need, then put together a small fuse kit. Don't avoid the exercises. It's a mistake to ignore an exercise because you are already familiar with what it is all about. There are always surprises, new elements, and things that you've forgotten. Your presence will also help those participants who are less familiar with the exercise's concepts. And this is an important one. Keep learning. Everything is dynamic, including emergency communications. Procedures and techniques that were standard 10 years ago are out of date today. Never sit back and feel that you've learned everything you'll need to know. Push, then talk. Pause for a second after keying up your transmitter. It may be slower to react than you realize. It's going to be noisy, so have a set of headphones. It's always a good idea to have a set of headphones around, but it may be an absolute necessity in an emergency. You may be placed in an area where other operators are working on different bands. You may be out in the open, or you may even be in the middle of a noisy shelter. A headset should be a vital part of your equipment. You can't communicate if you can't hear. And our final tip is eat. Do not skip meals just because things are busy. You may not think you need to eat anything, but volunteers have suddenly fainted without feeling any early symptoms that something was wrong. At the very least, consume an energy bar or a quick snack. See the complete list of excellent tips on the St. Louis Metro Ares Races website, strlares.org/trn-emcom-notebook.html. I'll repeat that for you. The St. Louis Metro Ares Races website is strlares.org/trn-emcom-notebook.html. We'll pause once again to allow repeaters to identify. Please stay tuned. This is the ARRL Ares Audio e-letter for December 17, 2014. And now it's time for K1CE for a final. Rick Palm writes, "Happy holidays from your editor here in Daytona Beach, Florida, the world's most famous beach. Thanks to readers and all the contributors to the Ares e-letter, now with almost 40,000 subscribers nationwide. See you next year, 73. Al Brown, KZ3AB, and I would also like to wish you and yours a happy and safe holiday season. And that's the ARRL Ares Audio e-letter for December 17, 2014. The ARRL Ares Audio e-letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The ARRL Ares Audio e-letter is a voice version of the ARRL Ares e-letter, compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE, in Daytona Beach, Florida. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, please visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. Thank you for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2014 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.